May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our God, our strength and our Redeemer. Please be seated. Well, the gospel really teaches us a lot about the value of God, the value of the reign of God. You know, comparing the worldly value is and what God's value is. And it's very opposite. I also have a sweatshirt, if I had thought about it, I should have worn it today. It says, "Work for God. The retirement benefits are great." And I do love it. But today, you know, we kind of learn from St. Luke's Gospel, and he kind of hits the Beatitudes from a social justice way. The earthly way would be being poor, hungry, weeping, and having rejection. Heavenly way would be being rich, full, laughter, and acceptance. And I'll get into that a little bit more when we get to that part. But when someone is blessed, what that means is that amidst all the problems in the world, all the stresses and strains, the ups and the downs, there's an inner joy that Jesus, you know, has a hold of your heart and keeps you within his loving arms. That can't be taken away from us. Yes, the world can wear us down, but there's just that little spark of joy, of blessedness from God Almighty through Jesus Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit. And also, which we'll get to a little bit later, is Jesus' way, like I said before, is so opposite of what the world's way is. What does Jesus say to do with our enemies? To love and to pray. That's not exactly what I would say the earthly way is. So, it starts up. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man, in other words, for being a Christian. But rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because your reward will be great in heaven. What this teaches us, and when it goes on a little bit further, and you can tell Advent is coming because it's all about awareness. All about awareness. Because Luke goes on to say, "But woe to you," which Jesus is saying, he's reporting, "but woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn." What does that mean? Does that mean if we're rich, that's it? If we have enough food, we're in trouble? If we're laughing when we go to heaven, if we have joy now, when we go to heaven, we won't? No, that's not what that means. What that means is if we're rich, if we're full, if we're joyful and laughing, if we don't pay attention to those who are in need, that means we're not aware of Jesus' love. We're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. When we sit next to somebody, are we aware of their needs? Is the person who's sitting next to us aware of our needs? Each and every one of us has days when we are needy. And Jesus tells us to love, to be patient, to be forgiving, but pay attention to the needs of others. When he gets down to, "But I say to you that, listen, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you, That is so different from what the world teaches us. The world teaches us to take care of ourselves first. And that's not what Christians are to do. Christians are to take care of the needs of others because God has asked us to do that. That's what we're about. And then I thought this was kind of interesting, where it says, you know, if anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other one. That is not Jesus saying being abused is okay. Believe it or not, I learned this a long time ago, is if in those days especially, if somebody hits you across the face with their back hand, that means they have the upper hand. They're your subordinate. They're above you. There's no equality. But what Jesus is saying, offer the other hand. Well, if somebody hits you, but then goes to hit you again, and they hit you with this, the front part of your hand, what that meant, especially in ancient times, was that you were put on an equal footing. So let's say the person who was what they thought above you, they wouldn't do that. They wouldn't do that because they wouldn't want to be considered equal because they thought they were so much better than the person they were abusing. So that ends the cycle of abuse. Jesus is not a proponent for abuse, but he is telling us to forgive, to be there to teach others by our example how God wants us to act, how God wants us to live, how he wants us to pray, how he wants us to worship, how he wants us to care for one another. And then it says, give to anyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Well, when we first went to church when I was little, this was one of the first things I heard, other than the story of Daniel in the lion's den, which, I named my child Daniel. I was determined from that day. I remember sitting there in Sunday school hearing that story about him in the lion's den. I was like, wow, how impressive. God would protect. But think about this. If the entire world just heeded this one verse, do to others as you would have them do to you, what a totally different world we would have. And this is what we're supposed to be all about. Now, being All Saints Day, I always preach in funerals that, you know, we have the difference between being on earth and heaven. And when the person has died and gone to heaven, it's such a difference. Because on earth, what do we have? We have illness, we have depression, we have fear, we have loneliness, we have sorrow, we have stresses and strains, physical limitations, we have confusion, conflict. In heaven, God teaches us, he makes all things new. So in heaven, there's no more pain, there's no more sickness, there's no more grief, no more sorrow, no more loneliness, no more physical limitations. It's like a kind of like a party, a heavenly party that God plans out for each and every one of us. All we have to do is accept it. The other thing, what I like best, and I was kind of tickled, was the first line, and this is the end, the first line of the column. It made me think of All Saints Day for sure. Almighty God, you have knit together your life in one communion and fellowship in the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. When we go to communion, we are actually united not only with God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, but we are united with every single person, every single Christian that has died before, that is living today, and that isn't even born yet. We are actually, in a spiritual, mystical way, united together through Christ. What an awesome thought when we kneel there or stand there and we receive that host, that we are united, we're one in Christ, truly one in Christ. And if you use the analogy of knitting, think about it. And I can't knit, so I hope you bear with me. You have a little yarn, okay? And you're starting off, and you're knitting, and you're knitting, and you're knitting, and you're making something, okay? And you're knitting, and you're knitting. Well, you've got the yarn that you already used, the before. You've got the yarn that you're knitting with right now, that you're still making things. And then what else? You've got the yarn that's not used yet. So it's such a good example of how we're joined together, knitted together, woven together for God's use. But always, paramount to Jesus is for us to love one another. That's the most important thing. So what we learn is we're in this together through Jesus Christ, and by the power of His Holy Spirit, we can do to others as we would like others to do to us. We can bless and pray for and love all people, including those who annoy us, who we hate, who we really don't like. It's just a way to grow up. But God is with us every single day to help us grow physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we know from so many different Bible verses, especially St. Paul, that once we've met Jesus, we do change. That's a given. We ask that, so, like so many before us, we allow that change to happen and truly become the brother and sister you would have us to be. Help us to be strong. Help us to be loving. Help us to be patient. But most of all, help us to learn how to love and serve you and worship you as you deserve. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.